Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, we have on our Oakwood Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line, Saints sideline reporter, and also our WWL digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Jeff's at the Senior Bowl covering. Man, all of America's there, Football America watching. Jeff, a lot of talk, and I know you and I talked about this even before the Senior Bowl cranked up. Jackson Dart, and I think a lot of people have a peeping eyes on how well Jackson Dart can throw the football. He's always been a guy to like to press the envelope. He wants to throw a deep downfield. He'll do that. He'll pass up an easy throw of 8 to 10 yards to try to throw that 35-yarder. Now, that gets you in trouble, but I think Jackson Dart's a guy that has made some cash this week in Mobile.
Yeah, and if you look at this quarterback class, I think he's probably, and you talked about this going in, he's probably the guy, if anyone has that kind of, you know, late offseason climb, you know, like a guy like Bo Nix did last year, and all of a sudden everyone's saying, oh, probably second, third round pick, all of a sudden, you know, he's going in the top 15. If anyone's to do that, it's probably Jackson Dart. And the reason is he's accurate. You know, like you trust where the ball is going when it leaves his hand. And, you know, he's a good example of a guy. I think he had some struggles early on as he got more comfortable with some of the receivers he's working with. He really, really started to lay some nice passes in there. They were working on red zone today, which was interesting because, you know, a guy like Taylor Elgers, when we talked about him yesterday, yeah, you know, Canadian football at the 20-yard end zone. So you saw, you watched him struggle a little bit. And a couple of these passes, like, well, if he had 10 more yards to work with, that's probably a catch. But no, I thought Dart really handled that well. And I think that's a good area to look at and see, okay, how confident are you really? Because those windows get really tight, you know, and that's where you can see, okay, what receivers can get open in a phone booth and who needs that 5-second, you know, crazy release off the line to beat somebody. And, you know, I thought Xavier Restrepo, a guy we talked about a lot, yeah, you know, he handled it well. But no, I think Jackson, yeah, I think you're right. He has earned himself some money this week.
Give us a little bit of insights on Trevor Etienne. Trevor's a guy, you know, covered both him and his brother. He's not as fast as older brother, but man, he's short, he's squatty, he's really powerful from the waist down to break out of a tackle. And I think in this draft class, it's pretty thick at running back. And I think a lot of those guys will go from sort of late in round two into the fourth round. If I'm the Saints, I got to take a look at a back in that range. I think Trevor Etienne, because of his power skills and also can catch the football pretty well coming out the backfield, I think is a guy to watch. Again, he started out, you know, where, you know, he was part of the transfer portal. Ends up at Florida with Billy Napier. Then he ends up at Georgia. Had some injuries last year, but I'm a big fan of Trevor Etienne.
Yeah, I think his stock has suffered a bit just because he is the transfer guy, right? He's been at all these different schools, and it's been hard to kind of establish a profile at, you know, as he's kind of moved around. But you watch him out here, I think he was the best running back out there today. You know, there's been a handful of guys who have flashed. Donovan Smith out of Michigan has been really solid. But, you know, you said it there. I think what stood out to me throughout the course of these few days is the pass catching, is the ability to shake a linebacker on an angle route and create that quick separation over the middle of the field so a quarterback can lay it in there. And I think that's when you watch guys out at the Senior Bowl, that's always a question. Like, who has the real ball skills and who's kind of a, you know, a body catcher? Who's surviving the catch versus going after the ball? And, you know, you see a guy like Trevor, reminds me a little bit of Chase Brown of a couple of years ago. You know, not a guy who's going to blow you off the field with his athleticism, but he's stocky. He can, you know, burst through a hole. He can get open. He can catch the ball. And I think he did have a really solid week.
Earlier in the show, Jeff, Mike and I were talking about the tight end class, and, you know, it feels like those top four guys are kind of solidifying themselves, at least for Mike and I's opinion, is with Tyler Warren and obviously Colson Loveland. Neither of them are out there, but then Mason Taylor and Elijah Arroyo have really stood out at the Senior Bowl so far. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Harold Fannin Jr. from Bowling Green, who's a guy that I think a lot of people have maybe higher on their draft boards.
He hasn't looked good.
Well, Charles, here's my kind of idea with him is that the numbers that he put up are eye-popping at Bowling Green. Like, he was their receiving attack.
Yeah, he was.
He led the country in receptions with 117 this past year, 1,555 total yards. But then you kind of look at his build, you're like, is he really an NFL tight end, or is he just kind of a bigger receiver? That's kind of my question is, like, I don't think he's going to play on the inline at the NFL level just because he's not big enough. But his reception numbers and the totals that he was able to put up at Bowling Green was impressive. However, you're going up against different competition at the Senior Bowl. So what have you kind of seen from this guy so far? Because he is the ultimate enigma to me. I don't know what he's going to be at the NFL.
Yeah, he's tough to gauge, right? You're talking about 6'3", 238. That's not a tight end.
Nope.
Correct. Right?
You know, he's basically Jaden Higgins with a few extra pounds on him. And that's why I have a hard time saying, you know, he had some great play. He had a one-handed catch today that, you know, is making the rounds. And he's that type of player. He's that type of receiver. But you see this happen a lot where guys get into the NFL and they're kind of tweeners. And, you know, they can make plays in the passing game, but, you know, you don't trust them on the line. You don't trust them in line. You know, Juwan Johnson is a similar build, if you want to look at it that way. You know, he probably, you know, if Fannin can bulk up a little bit, I like his chances to be kind of that move tight end. A lot of teams are looking for that type of player. But I would say he has a good bit to prove. And that's where I see a guy like Mason Taylor. It's a lot easier to see him project. I was talking to a few people about Mason today, and one of the things that I think is pretty clear with Mason is he's already big. He's already the size you would want, the prototypical size. And I think he could put on 8 to 10 more pounds comfortably and still play at the pace that he wants to play at. I don't know if Harold Fannin can do that.
You know,
there's
a
few players, right? And there's a few players at the Senior Bowl that I have the same questions about at a few different positions. A guy like Tez Johnson, right? He's 156 pounds. You can't play in the NFL.
That's not even like Devontae Smith was slim, but he wasn't 150.
What? Even Devontae's a little bigger.
Yeah exactly.
Right.
And he's still 170.
You know, Tank Dell is a good example, right?
Yeah.
Tank Dell's 164, and Tank Dell has had two major injuries in two seasons. So, yeah. Like, there's a few guys that I think showed up at the Senior Bowl, and I really would have liked to see them show up at a more NFL-ready weight. And I think, you know, a guy like Tez Johnson, he's prioritizing speed, and I understand that. I just don't know if you can play at that size. So, you know, that's one of the things that's kind of holding me back from really pumping the Harold Fannin hype train right now.
Jalen Milroe, I know you got to talk to him. Jalen's the ultimate enigma because sometimes he looks so good throwing the football, and in other times, he's El Stinko throwing the short stuff. He's much more accurate on the deeper throws than he is on the short throws. And a lot of it is his mechanics and everything else. Now, here's the thing that I like about Jalen. He's a super hard worker. He's a great leader. He's going to give you everything he's got. Now, the mechanical part, he's going to have to learn. But I can build a package to use him very early in his career as a runner, and man, can he throw a deep ball. He really can hum it down there and just try. I think for him, he's going to be the ultimate fit player. It's not going to work for just anybody. He's going to have to go to the right team, right place.
Yeah, you know, I would qualify him as struggling a bit this week, and the accuracy was the issue, and that was the issue we knew going in was going to be a problem. Sorry, a problem. You know, he can lay that ball down, you know, kind of the open sideline, right? He's not as accurate throwing across his body, but when he can throw kind of with his body, he can lay a deep ball in there.
Yeah.
He hit Jack Besh was his best friend. I asked him about Jack Besh. I don't think we have time to get into the clip, but you know, he's like, that's a dog. Like, one of the things that became clear throughout the week is Jalen Milroe wants to throw to Jack Besh, right? If I'm drafting Jalen Milroe, I might draft Jack Besh at the same time because that connection was legit. And, you know, I honestly think, you know, I think Jalen going out there and balling out and having the week of his life might have worked against him in the end, because I think the best case for him is going to be being a day two, maybe early day three pick, and being in a situation where he's comfortable and a team is comfortable letting him develop. If he climbs up and is a late, you know, ends up in that Lamar Jackson spot late first round, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to deliver right away, and I don't think he's going to. I think he needs time. But, you know, like you talked about, he's a great locker room guy. He's a worker. I like his approach, and I think he can develop. So we'll see how that goes for him.
I wouldn't be surprised, because his offensive coordinator, former one, is with the Browns today. And, okay, we all know that you know, they're going to have a changeover at quarterback in Cleveland. And you can't play Milroe year one, but I do think that there's a connection there. There's always a connect the dots. I wouldn't be surprised Jalen Milroe end up in Cleveland in on a day two pick.
Yeah, not at the 102.
On a day, oh, no, not yes. at the two pick.
You're right.
No, but a day two pick,
yes.
I think that's probably the spot for him. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it, bud. I know we got a lot of sound that you got. We'll play it in the 7 o'clock hour. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Y'all take care.
Thank you. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, our WWL digital content producer.